Praise the Lord, everyone. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live. Welcome to the Taylor family and all our friends joining through Facebook and YouTube Live. We are streaming from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where Elder Jonathan E. Ford is the pastor. Amen. So today is planting day. And it's funny because if I said today is harvest day, we would all be up in praise, right? But how many know in order to get the harvest, we got to plant the seeds? So we should be just as excited about planting the seeds as we are reaping the harvest. Because if you know, our seeds are our praise, our prayer. It's not just giving, but every time we come to the house of the God, we are planting seeds. Because I'm going to tell you, there is a mandate this year for all of us to grow in Christ. And if we are the same as we were when we first got saved, I can tell you, you're not planting enough seeds. So this morning, we're going to plant seeds of our praise, plant seeds of our worship, plant seeds of encouragement. Let's get our seeds in the ground today. It's not just physical. We see it in the physical, but it all parallels with the spiritual. And that's what our pastor wants us to see with this garden, how the kingdom of God operates. If we want to see the harvest, we got to put the work in to plant the seeds. And then the hard part, wait. I don't know that's why that's so hard for us, but wait and pray for rain. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to invite you to stand as we read the scripture this morning. I'm coming from Psalm 100, and I'm old school, so I'm going to be reading King James Version. Say amen if you have it. Amen. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Amen. Blessed be the reading of the word. And join with me as I pray. I invite you to bow your heads and pray with me. Because remember, this morning is planting day. We are sowing seeds. Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, thank you for another day, God. To come into your house and to praise your mighty name, oh God. Father, we know that we're not worthy, God, to stand in your presence, God, but we thank you for the blood of Jesus, hallelujah, that counts us as worthy, God. So, Lord Jesus, we don't take this for granted to stand into your presence, oh God, but Lord, we come into your house with our lifting of our hands, God, and the opening of our mouths, God, to praise your name, Jesus, because you're worthy of all of our praise, oh God. You're worthy of everything we can give you, oh God. You are worthy, oh God, hallelujah, Jesus, to give you the work of our hands, oh God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so, God, we pray this morning to come into this place, oh God. Father, we invite your presence in this place, oh God. Jesus, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place, oh God. And continue to minister to our hearts, God. Continue to uproot those weeds in our heart, God. Continue to do a work in us that only you can do, God. And help us to grow, God, so that we can give your name glory, God. That we can give your name everything that's due unto you, God. Hallelujah, God. Because we exist for your glory alone, oh God. It's for your glory, God, and your glory alone, oh God. So, Lord Jesus, we just say, come, hallelujah. Come, God. Come, God. Come, God. Come in the midst, oh Jesus. Sit with us, rest with us today, oh God, and make us know without a shadow of a doubt who you are, God, and and how you are ministering in the midst, oh God. Father, we ask that you will bless this service, God. Be with our pastor, God. Bless him greatly, God. Be with everyone that comes today, God. Lord, we pray that you'll heal the sick, God, and release the bound, oh God. Minister to those that are in prison, oh God. Lord, give food to those that need, oh God. Father, we pray, God, that any provision that is needed, that you will meet it, oh God, in the name of Jesus, and that they will know that it is you and you alone, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Saturate this place, oh, God. Saturate this atmosphere, oh, God, to make it conducive, God, to the moving of your spirit, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we be so careful to cherish it, oh, God. Hallelujah. To cherish the works that you send, that you move, that you do according to your will, God. We cherish you, God. We thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. We thank you, Jesus. We belong to you, Jesus. We are your children, God. And we thank you, Lord. Father, we pray all these things, oh God, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to give a moment for those to come in. Thank you, Lord. At this time, I'm going to invite our sister Leah Reed to come and give us a sermonic selection. Amen.
Hallelujah, 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 as we are continually giving praise and thanks unto our Lord. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done.
Come on, everybody. Come on, let's give thanks. Come on, everybody, everywhere. Come on, let's give thanks. Come on, let's make a joyful noise. All ye land. Come on, let's give thanks. We owe Him the praise this morning. Everybody, everywhere. Give the Lord God thanks. Lord, I thank you. Had it not been for the Lord, woo! Where would I be? What would my life be like? Had the Lord not picked me up, turned me around, put my feet on stable ground. So this Sunday I say thanks. I give the Lord thanks. I give the Lord praise for what He has done. I give the Lord praise for what He's doing right now. How many know God's doing stuff right now? We're here in church. We're here in worship. God is working some stuff out right now. So I've got to give Him thanks. I won't even see the benefit of it until next week, next month, next year. But God, He's working it out right now. Woo! That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. Because He's working in my ground. Woo! His seed is already in my ground. And I can't see it. I don't know what He's doing. I don't know how He's doing it. But if we just remain faithful, this is the promise. He said, you'll reap. He said, you shall reap. If you faint not, look at somebody, tell them, hang in. Hang in there. God is working in your ground. Woo! That's why I give thanks. Because I know He's working. That's why I praise Him. Because I know He's working in my ground. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. And all that is within me. Bless his holy, holy, holy name. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in my ground. Thank you for the seed that you have sown in my ground. Thank you for what you're doing underneath the soil. Nobody even knows. Nobody even sees. But God is working in my ground. To God be the glory for the great things he has done. If you have your Bible, let's go straight to the Word of God. We're going to begin in the book of Genesis, chapter 2. I'm going to invite you to turn there with me. I'm going to add to the witness out of the concluding book to the canon, the book of Revelations, chapter 22, verse 1. Our primary text will be in Genesis, the second chapter, beginning at verse 8. If you need a Bible, just slip your hands up. If you need a Bible, we'll get you one. If you have your own, God bless you. Hard copy or electronic. Church is a good place to bring your Bible. Church is a good place to bring your Bible. Amen. Genesis 2 and 8. Then the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put the man who he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden. From there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first is Pison, and it is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good, and bdellium and the onyx stone are there also. The name of the second river is Gihon, and it is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Hiddekel, and it is the one which goes towards the east of Syria. The fourth river is the Euphrates. Then the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden, to tend and keep it. Amen. Let's add to the witness. Revelations 22. One of the things I want you to pay in mind, I want you to keep in mind, is that we're bookending all of the revealed scripture of God. Starting in Genesis, and we're looking at Revelation, okay? So we're at the very beginning, very end, okay? You with me? And this is John with his revelation he's seeing into the time that is to come. And John says, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. You guys with me? All right, everybody look up. On the sixth day of creation, the Bible said God planted a garden. And he watered it with a river out of Eden. Right? John now takes us through eschatology and looks into the future of time, the coming kingdom, right? And there, John has already told us in the preceding chapter that he saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down. And in that same revelation, that same vision, he says, then I also saw what a pure river proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Right? You paying attention? This is helping you. It says, in the middle of its streets and on either side of the river, watch this, was the tree of life. Right? Genesis 2, he showed us what? He planted a garden eastward in Eden, and in the very center of it was what? The tree of life. Are you paying attention? This is in your Bible. I'm not making this up. It's in your Bible. All you got to do is pull it together. In theological terms or theological teaching, this is what is called the meta-narrative. Just a fancy way to say this, the big picture. Right? That's all this. You got to get the big picture. Right? There is always a story going on down in the text, right? But you got to always remember that above all of that, God is telling his story. That's what history is. His story. Not your story. Not my story. It's his story. It's what he wants to tell us, right? Right? And he's telling you that when I started, before I ended creation, before the Sabbath, before the seventh day, before I took my rest, I created a garden. In that garden, I put the tree of life, put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I put every plant in there that was good, good for, pleasant to look at, and good for food. And I watered it with a river that could sustain this oasis. Now we go to the end of his story. Now John tells us, John wasn't there in the beginning. John doesn't know what was created. Like us, he only has the writings of Moses. But now looking through an eye of faith into the future, he sees not only a new heaven and a new earth, but he sees the tree of life. He sees a pure, get this. Look what it says. Pure river, clear as crystal. You see that? Meaning it had no impurities in it. Right? I can't listen to the news at least once a week, if not twice. They're always telling you what? Don't drink the water. This town can't drink the water. That town, the boil the water. There's always something going on with, and I appreciate it because they're doing it for our safety. But they're helping us to understand that for us to survive, we need water. But not just any kind of water. We need pure and clean water. Right? Had it in the garden, and we'll have it again in the kingdom of God. Let me get on, because some of you leaning over. I told y'all to wear garden clothes. I don't know why y'all got heels on that. That's how you garden. Jermaine does garden in heels. So when you see her, you'll see. Here it is. I'm fooling around. In the middle of a street on either side of the river, tree of life. bore 12 fruits, right? You've been studying your Bible long enough. You know what? 12 is what? Significant. It's one of God's numbers. 12, right? 12 sons of Jacob, 12 tribes of Israel, right? 12 disciples, right? You gotta look at that and say that means something. Each yielding its fruit every month. And this was the matriarch. She used to love this. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Right? Here it is. And there shall be no more curse. Right? Curse, no more sin. Not in the new garden. Right? Right? Remember, we lost the old garden because of what? Sin. But in the new garden, right? Meta narrative, folks, big picture. Think big. God's showing you what he's going to do, right? Here it is. And so there'll be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face. Wow. John, Paul says, now we see through a glass dimly. We reach after, we feel, we grope. It's not clear. Right? I'm talking about the meta now, the big picture. I hear you, Pastor, but I don't get it. I don't see it. That's okay. Because there's coming a day when what? We will. Here, I got the witness right here. We shall see his face. Paul says, we shall see him as he is. Imagine seeing God, right? Here it is. Let me finish. You see his face, and there shall be names on their foreheads. I'm done. Verse 5. And there shall be no night there. Listen to this, church. They won't need a lamp, nor the light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them life, light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Last week, everybody was going crazy about looking at the eclipse. Being able to look up and gaze at the sun and seeing the moon pass through. There's coming a day where we will look up not at the sun, but at a light greater than the sun. Right? No glasses, no solar eclipse glasses, right? Bible said we'll see him face to face. Can you imagine that? This is the stuff as the church we need to get excited about, because this is what gives us what? Hope, right? Gives us hope that we can make it through this part of the story. We're not at the end yet, and we've missed out on the beginning, but if we can just make it through this part of his story, that when it's all over, we'll see him face to face. The funny thing, after the eclipse, I'm driving to work, and they're talking about how many people were calling their doctors because now their eyes is hurting. When they told you beforehand, don't look at it. If you ain't got the glasses, don't look up at the sun. But they did anyway, and now everybody going to the eye doctor. All right, let me pray so you can sit down. Half of y'all get ready to sit down anyway. But Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you for your story. And oftentimes when we pray about our story, where it is, what's going on, what's right and what's wrong. And all too often we fail to thank you for your story and the minute role that we play in it. But today, Lord, we thank you that as we look at the beginning and at the end of your self-revelation to us through the Word of God, thank you for planting a garden. not only for Adam and not only for Eve, but thank you for planting a garden for all of those that will believe in and accept your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that in the last days, in the garden of God, we'll finally see you face to face. Until that day comes, keep us by and according to your word. Allow your Holy Spirit to rule in us and through us. And God, even as you work in the ground and change the seed in it, by your Holy Spirit, work in our ground and cause us to be transformed, changed, and made new, that we may one day become what you have envisioned us to be before the foundation of time. As our sister Leah sang, for that we give you thanks. In Christ's name, for his sake, amen. You may be seated all over the church. Hey, can we open those windows for me? Just halfway, nothing too much. Well, it's gardening day, it's planting day, and thank God to all of you who came prepared to work in the garden. We're going to go ahead and jump in this text. We have Genesis chapter 8, and like I said, we bookended with what we find there in Revelations. In the Old Testament, a name was not only identification, but also an identity as well. Many times a special meaning was attached to a name. Throughout scripture, God reveals himself to us through his names. When we study the names of God, he reveals to us in the Bible, we better understand who God is in reality. The meanings behind God's name reveal the central personality, nature, and character of God himself. Now, I've included on the slide there just some of the names. By no means is this an exhaustive list, but just some of the names that we find throughout the Old Testament. There is El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty. There is Yahweh, the Lord Jehovah. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner, our protection. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, my shepherd. David made famous, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, my healer, the God that heals. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace. Right? But as we look at our text in Genesis chapter 2, we also find another title, name if you will, that is ascribed to our God. Genesis 2:8, it says, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. Which this title does not make the list of the names or titles of God, yet it is one. And that is that your God, my God, our God is a gardener. And I got the witness right here. Are you with me? Are you seeing it? It's in the, I'm not making it up. It's in the Bible. The Bible says the Lord God, what? Planted a garden. So now he's what? He's a gardener. Right? He planted a garden. And that word, to plant, we know what it means, but just to level it up for all of us, the verb form of the word plant is to place a seed, a bulb, or even another plant into the ground so that it can grow. Are you with me? To plant means to place a seed, a bulb, or even sometimes another plant in the ground so that it can grow. Are you with me? Your God, our God, is a gardener. And he's a gardener because he places stuff in the ground. Right? And then by his own power, he causes it to grow. Right? If you were on Wednesday night with our good friend Chris Bolden Newsom, and he was talking about that mustard seed, and he talked about how in the ground the mustard seed went through a what? A metamorphosis. Underneath the ground, before it came up, it changed while in the ground. And in its changing process, God then elevates it above ground, and we behold something that is so much larger than what went in the ground. Right? Your God is a gardener. Are you with me on that? And what is one thing every gardener must have? Tools? That's a good one. And the answer is yes. But that's not the one I'm asking. What else must every gardener have? Gotta have seeds. Yes. Not the what, huh? Soil, good. What else? I'm hearing other stuff. Water, yep, good, good, yep. Finally, my church came to church. Good Lord. Faith. Now, Keisha gets y'all closer. She says faith, that's closer. The gardener's got to have faith that what he puts in the ground will what? Grow. But before it grows, he has to do what? Huh? Every plant, every gardener must have patience. Am I right about it? Because no matter what you plant, it does not come up tomorrow. Right? We're going to plant today, and it's going to be many weeks before we see anything starting to come. So we're going to have to be patient, right? James 4, let patience have what? Its perfect work. And in the course of working out that patience, it tries our what? Our faith. That what we put in the ground will indeed grow while we water it. While we turn it, while we put soil and all that other, but we've got to have patience, right? To see it through. So here, God plants a garden. And this is what a good gardener will do. A good gardener, before planting any seed, will look for what? My goodness, my church came. All these years, and y'all picked this Sunday to come. I'm glad y'all made. A good gardener will always look for good ground. Right? Why? Gives his seed better chance to what? Grow. Right? Look at our garden. The Bible said he planted a garden in Eden. Right? Come on, let's look at Eden. Here's Eden. The Babylonians called this lush green land from which water flowed Edenu, which we get the word Eden. Today, that term Edenu is also the root word for the term oasis, which describes such a place like Eden. This was a magnificent garden paradise. Are you with me? It wasn't just any land. It was a magnificent garden paradise. Good ground, right? Unlike any the world has seen since, because in this place, this garden, God would fellowship with the man he created. Not only would he plant seed in the ground, but while they were both exercising patience, waiting, they would what? Fellowship. While we're waiting for the seeds to grow, God and his son, created son, not begotten son, right? Matthew, the gospel writer, helps us when you do his genealogy. It goes all the way back and he calls Adam what? The son of God, right? Not the begotten son, but the created son of God. Here God would fellowship with his son, where? In the garden. Are you with me? And here's the meta narrative, all right? Everybody look up. This is the big picture. What he created then, which was destroyed by the serpent, he will recreate again, this time restored by the Savior. But when he restores it the second time, it will not just be a garden. It will be the whole earth and heaven. Right? Are you with me? If this is too much for Sunday, just say so. Say, Pastor, this we need a Thursday and a Friday to work through this. One thing out behind my house, I have a wooded area. So no one lives behind me. It's just woods and all that type of stuff. Goes down a couple miles to the river. And so I used to make the boys cut the grass until they double-teamed me with their mom and they got out of it. So now I got to pay a guy to come cut the grass. So this is what the guy tells me years ago. He said, Mr. Ford, you're going to need me to cut back, push back this wooded area. This man and I live where we live for over 25 years. And over course of time, the wooded area has kept growing. So at one time, my yard went from here to here. But over time, it doesn't go that far. Why? Because the wood has what? So it's encroached on my yard. He said, your yard is literally smaller than what it was. And he said, if you don't take this step now and cut this stuff back and bring it back to the way it was, he said, it's going to keep up. And it'll come up on you. But, you know, so you got to pay me, but I'll do it. And I'll push all of this wood back to where it was. Get this. And if you get this, I'll quit. I won't even work the rest of it. Because this is it right here. This is the sermon right here. Get this. This is the garden in Eden. My woods kept growing, encroaching on my yard. That same process applies to any garden, right? If you just leave it alone, your garden will what? Keep growing. It will grow outside of the boundaries you originally laid for it, right? It will just keep growing. Are you with me? If you get it, this is the sermon. God planted a garden, one garden, in a magnificent paradise called Eden, with everything about it was perfect for growing. Right? When God created the human race, he made what? One man. He didn't make all of us, whatever they say, there's 6 million people. He made one man, right? From that man, he made a woman, and he expected the human race to what? Grow. Right? God planted one garden. Let me know if you're my real church this Sunday. That's all he planted. He didn't plant three gardens. The Bible said he planted a garden in a place called Eden. He put it in the best place. Gave it the best condition. Right? Realizing that if everything is right with his garden, it'll keep what? It'll keep growing. And eventually, the garden would become the what? The whole world. It takes time. Meta-narrative is different type of preaching. But do you understand what I'm, do you get it? Have I given you enough pieces for you to make the leap? Right? Even if you don't understand that, you understand in your own backyard, if you don't cut it back, it's going to what? Going to keep growing. You got to get somebody out there to trim it back or cut it back. Because what? It'll keep growing. And if it keeps growing, it's going to what? Spread. So it was here last summer, two summers, now it's here. If you let it go another two summers, it'll be here. God planted one garden. He put it in a place called Eden. And expected it to grow. He never put a fence around it. Read the text. Never put a hedge around it. It wasn't until sin entered in that God edged up the garden. And he did that by putting a cherubim there. Right? And he put them what? Eastward. Put them at the east gate. Right? That's a whole... some other time, right? But do you see what I'm saying? So God planted a garden. He expected it to grow. Didn't sin. Now we're in Revelations. And what do we see? Not a garden in Eden. But now we see a new heaven and a new earth, right? And like God's original garden, it too has what? The tree of life. If you read it close, it not only has a tree of life, it has what? Two trees. Right? John said, I saw one what? On either side of the river. Two trees of life. No more tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Just a tree of life on this side and a tree of life on that side. Right? What I'm trying to get you to see is that God's original plan, his original vision, was never for the garden to stay limited just to Eden. Just look at his creation. God didn't create everything. He created enough to what? Get started. He didn't create all the fish. He created enough to what? Get started, right? He didn't create all human beings. He created enough to what? Get started. And his expectation is that what? They would grow. Until one day the garden of God takes over the whole earth. And this is where the Bible writer says, and the whole earth was full of his glory. Why? Because the glory was in Eden. He didn't dwell everywhere that he created. The Bible says it was in Eden that he met with Adam. Didn't meet with Adam on this side of the world. Didn't meet with Adam. It was in Eden. Was the special place. God said, this is in the garden. That's where we're going to get together. That's where I'm going to come down and talk to you. That's where I'm going to come down and tell you how to tend to the garden of God. Meet me in the garden. That's what we'll talk about. And I'll talk with you and find out what it's like to be you. And I'll allow you to ask me questions so you can get some glimpse to see what it's like to be me. And there, God and humanity will fellowship. Right? I'm here to tell you, God's going to get back what he had in mind in the beginning. The serpent messed it up. Right? He beguiled the woman. He tempted Adam. He gave in. But the wonder of his story is that he didn't allow it to end there. From Genesis to Revelations, God is getting his garden back to the way he created it. That's what you're seeing. And he gives you a glimpse of what it'll look like in the end. What was a garden limited to Eden in the beginning will become a new heaven and a new earth in the end. The whole thing will be Eden. But all of it will be a garden. And we won't need a sun. God said, I'll be the light. No more eclipse. He said, I'll be the sun. No more electricity, no more power. The glory of God will illuminate all of heaven and all of the earth. Are you with me on that? Life in God's garden demands growth. If you're in God's garden, you gotta grow. Now I'm fast tracking, I'm out of town, and I went left, because you guys said go left. The thing I want you to understand is that God's a gardener. By extension, because we are created in his likeness and image, then you are a gardener. Right? You tell me if I'm staying in bounds. The text tells us, let us make man in our likeness and in our image. Make him like us. Not completely, but enough that someone can look at him. And tell me if you've heard this at the reunion. My goodness. You sure look like your daddy. And I should, because what? I'm in his image. And I'm in his, there should be some reflection in me of him. So when God creates his son, Adam, in his image and likeness, some of the attributes and some of the things of God are present in Adam. And if his dad is a gardener, then his son is probably a gardener too. Right? And the gardener plants, puts seed in the ground. And he demonstrates patience and faith. Not only must a gardener have patience, this is what I was going to preach, but here it is. A gardener must also work. I wish I had Mother Training here. Mother Training would help me preach this. It's not enough to have patience. But every morning you got to get up and go where? You got to go back in the garden. I used to watch my dad do that for just weeks. I'm like, he'd just go out and he'd trim around it. Go out the next day and he'd do a line. And but every day he was working in the garden. And if it wasn't with the plants, it was with the soil. And someday he'd get me and Jamie out to get all these rocks up. We had a yard that had no fence on it on Inland Street. So that meant dogs would come in and poop all in the garden. My dad called me and Jamie, get out there and get that poop out. That's life in the garden. That's how the garden goes. Stones in the garden. Raccoons and cats would come in the garden and rip off branches. Rip off, mess up your fruit. They trying to eat it and couldn't get it. And they just leave it there. And the gardener would call his son and say, get out there. Get out there, you, Cindy, then clean it up. If it's bad, pull it off the vine. Strong, I get all that trash. Next to our garden, we had a basketball court. All Jamie's friends would come play basketball. And after they played basketball, what would they do? They leave all their trash out there. Soda bottles, potato chips. Here we build in the garden and eating potato chips. Well, whatever. That's how it was. But you see what I mean? And all that stuff would blow in the garden. And that, so every day in the garden, you were. And I want you to see that this is in your Bible. And I'm done. I'm not going to go any further. Look at verse 15. He's got this beautiful garden called Eden. And look what he does. He takes his man, which he has created. He puts him in Eden. Look what he tells him. He put him there for a purpose. You know what that purpose was? To work. His job was to dress it, cultivate it, and tend to it. While waiting for it to grow. He created Adam to work in the garden. Right? I'm going to give this to the fellas, y'all hang in there. I'm going to give this to the sisters for free. This don't cost you anything. Right? Look at God's plan. Before Eve ever comes on the scene, are you with me? Adam had a God. Adam had a home. 6442 Eden place. Look at somebody and say, he preaching, man, I'm God. He had a God, he had a home, get this, and he had a... Eve's not even on the scene yet. Adam had a God, Adam had his own house, and Adam had a job. Are you with me? I told you I never strive to be a great pastor, but I do strive to be a helpful pastor, right? And I'm going to leave it alone. We're going to go plant. But that's for the ladies. That's what God did for Eve. He said, before I even bring you on the scene, I'm going to create a God just for you. He'll already be in relationship with me. He'll already have a house for you to live in. And he'll be fully employed. Because life in the garden requires work. Let's stand to your feet. Jesus said, he said, I must work while it's day. Because night is coming. And when night cometh, no man can work. He's working. So as his sons and daughters, we too should be working. We should be working to build the kingdom of God. Until Eden takes over the whole earth. So we won't have to get in our cars and drive to church. We'll walk out our doors and be in church. Why? Because the glory of God will be everywhere. The Bible writer said the whole earth, good God, was full of his glory. That means everywhere I turn, the glory of God shall round about me. And until that happens, you and I got to work in the garden. We got to be willing to get dirty. We've got to be willing to deal with dirty stuff, dirty issues, problems. We got to deal with this. I didn't have time to tell you. Not only was the tree of life in the garden, the blessing, also the tree of the knowledge of good. Temptation was in the garden. It's in the garden. It's not in the new heaven, but in the garden. Temptation was in the garden. And we've got to work. So that what? So that we can yield not to temptation. We've got to work so that we can help our brothers and our sisters fight the good fight of faith. So that Eden stays pure. So that Eden stays a magnificent garden paradise. There's no reason that the glory of God be limited to this house of worship or to that house of worship. Time for us to go to work. It's time for us to grow God's garden. Grow it in West Philly. Grow it in Southwest. Grow it in North. Grow it up in Mount Airy. Grow it up in the Northeast. Grow it, grow it, grow it, grow it. It's what he created us for. So that like our Creator, we too would be gardeners. And go into the garden of God and work for Him. I'll close by saying this. Jesus says in the New Testament, the parable that he told, he said, The king, the master hired him, he said, go into my vineyard, another name, garden, and work. He said, whatever is right, God said, I'll pay it. He's not asking you to work for free. And if he did, it would be okay. Why? Because his son gave his life. But he said, if you go in and work, which is what I built you to do, to work. Eve comes along and she is identified as a helpmate. The only person who needs help is someone who has what? Work to do. If you don't do it, if you're not doing anything, you don't need help. God brought Eve because Adam needed help. Why? The garden was growing. In the early days, he could manage it himself. But as Eden kept growing, as Eden kept enlarging itself. Why? Because God was in the ground. And it was growing. It was going to become what God destined it to be. To be the whole earth. One day when God came to fellowship with Adam, he said, what's going on with you, man? He said, God, I need some help. This thing is more, it's bigger than when we started. I need help. Checks him out the following. Adam, what's going on with you now, man? What came down to fellowship? What's happening? He said, well, I still got that help request out there. Just as a reminder, it's out there. I'm getting lonely. And I appreciate our times of fellowship, but it's not all the time because I'm not you. So we fellowship sometimes. When you come down to Eden, we fellowship. But when you're not there, God said of Adam, there was none like him. Everybody else had a buddy but Adam. So he told God about it. Said, I need help. I'm alone. It's great when you're here, but it's not so great when you're not. I don't know if you realize, I don't know if this was your plan or what's going on. The garden's growing. I used to be able to cover it all, but now, God, I need help. And in response to that need, God brings Eve. And the Bible said she was a helpmate. She was help. Why? Because Adam had work to do. And just like Adam had work to do, you and I have got what? We've got work to do. And if we would just commit ourselves to the garden of God, I'm telling you, God will send help. Your God's a gardener. So are you. And I believe, not just on today, but this, since the beginning of the year, I believe God has been working in your ground. Many of you, I've already told you in private conversation, you look different. You sound different. Your prayers are different. And all that means to me as a pastor, that means God's working. He's in your ground. And I know no one can see it. Your situation hasn't changed. Your circumstance is still the same. But through an eye of the Spirit, I know God's working in your ground. And my challenge to you, church, this Sunday is let them keep working. And as he works inside of you, he wants you to begin to work in his garden. That's what he wants. That's why he made you a gardener. I know you like to tell people, oh, I'm a lawyer and I'm a social worker and I'm this, I'm a fireman, I'm a policeman, and all that may be true. You got all those other names of God. They're all true. But he's also a gardener. And so are you. He says this in the book of Nehemiah, one of my favorite passages. He said, and the people had a mind to work. That's how they rebuilt that temple. All of them, they got together and said, hey, we got to do this. Nehemiah, I think it's 4 and 6, whatever. He said, the people had a mind to work. Work is required in the garden of God. That's why I wanted you to dress the way you're dressing. Wear what you wear. Because we're going to go out here, and guess what we're going to do? We got to go to work. We're going to have to get down in the ground. Some cats and raccoons may have already been back there. And I hope y'all don't expect the pastor to. Maybe some of you do, I don't know. The Lord bless you. Bless you for receiving his word. His word is his seed. So as I pray this closing prayer, just like Nehemiah, I'm going to pray that God gives all of us a mind to work. Not simply in a small garden out back, but that he gives us a mind to work in the garden of God. So that when he comes again, we can all hear him say, "What? Well done. Good job. Good job. I built you to work and you did just that. You didn't complain about what you didn't have. You didn't complain about how small the patch was. You went in there and you went to work." He said, "Now I'm going to bless you." Father in heaven, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the seed that the sower sows. And our prayer this morning is to make our heart, to make our spirit like Eden, good soil, good ground, that we might receive the things of God in our heart and in our spirit. And God, we need you to be God and begin working in our ground. Cause us not to be conformed to this world, but by your mighty hand, help us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, by the quickening of our spirit, by Christ Jesus. God, give us a mind to work while it's day, during the season of life that we have, while we still have strength in our body, ingenuity in our mind, creativity in our spirit. Give us a mind to work until this whole neighborhood is changed and is filled with the glory of God. To that end we pray and ask in the name of your beloved Son, the Christ. All of God's people say amen. Amen. Amen again. Come on, give him your best praise. Come on, let's praise the gardener. Come on, let's give glory to the gardener. If he's working in your ground, come on, give the Lord a praise. Lord, thank you. Thank you for working in my ground. Thank you, God, for what people cannot see. Thank you for the word of God that is in my ground.
Amen. Wasn't that an awesome word? I want to take a moment to open up the doors of the church. If there is someone here that doesn't have a church home, we are not a perfect church, but we are a believing church. And we continue to work towards the perfection of God. Amen. We are working in the midst. So I just want to take a moment to open up the doors of the church. If you do not have a church home and you desire a fellowship, just want to open up the doors. You are welcome here. Amen. 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 I'm going to invite our Jacob Ford and Logan Lyons as Jacob reads the offering, followed by Logan Lyons.
Good morning to Tabor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, we may give through one of five ways, including text to give, online giving through websites, Venmo, Cash App, also by using U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by postal mail, please send check or money to order to Taylor Tabernacle, PA, P.O. Box 6309, Phoenix, Philadelphia, PA 19139. Venmo at Taylor Tabernacle 6309. Cash App is not working right now. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door. One of your tishels or offerings, one of your preachers, please place your sealed envelope in the basket as you exit the sanctuary. Pastor Ford is asking everyone to give $100 to Turning the Tide during the month of April during our Sunday offering collection QR or via the link below at www.turningthetidephilly.org. You should donate now. You may also give an offering via Cash App or Venmo. Cash App at Pastor Jonathan Ford or Venmo at Jonathan Ford. As always, thank you for your continued support in our ministry.
The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live, so that you may also continue to join us in worship from your home. Remember to hit subscribe right here, there on the YouTube page, or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle, so that you are informed and up to date with all our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. Thank you. When you decide to join us for in-person worship, please take your temperature before leaving home and bring a mask to wear. If you or someone in your family has had contact with anyone who has had the COVID-19 virus, we encourage you to please stay home. Every first Sunday, we will gather at 8:30 a.m. in person for corporate prayer, followed by morning worship at 10 a.m. Wednesday nights, prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. via Google Meet. Sunday school from 8:30 to 9 a.m. via Google Meets. We look forward to seeing your child every second, third, fourth, and fifth Sundays. Pastor Ford's YLE. Oh, and please participate in Pastor Ford's YLE challenge. Sunday, April 14th, we need everyone's help planting new seeds. I believe, is that today? Yeah, today. We need help planting new seeds in the garden following today's service. Please dress accordingly, or if you have already dressed accordingly. We will have seedlings available to purchase for your home garden. Lunch will be provided. Wednesday, April 24th, a guest speaker, Reverend Carolyn Cavanis, will join us for Bible study. Saturday, April 27th, Turning the Tide, Lunch and Learn presentation, adult literacy, digital literacy, employment assistance, and more. This event will take place at Christ the Calvary Church, 500 South 61st Street, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Lunch will be provided. Pastor Ford is asking everyone to give $100 to Turning the Tide during the month of April during our Sunday offering collection or via the link below. www.turningthetidephilly.org/donate-now.
Thank you for those announcements. Amen. So I'm going to invite everyone to stand as we prepare for the benediction. And our pastor is coming out. Amen.
God bless you, Taylor. Thanks, everybody, for being out tonight. Thanks this morning. And my thanks and appreciation in advance. Our gardeners are in the back. They're waiting for you. Special thanks to all of those that are going to be leading the planting in the various flower beds out back. Thank God for all of our kids. When our kids out there, we're all going to be out there. I'm asking Brother Rob that as we jump out here, I want all of the young men, I want you to get with Brother Rob, because We want to clean up our block today, so I'm asking all the young men to grab some trash bags, grab some brooms and stuff, hand stuff, everything you need, and let's just go. We just want to clean the block, right? Any trash, just pick it up. Doesn't have to be in front of our property. Anyone else? Anything that's broken, just sweep it up. Get it done. Let's sweep. Let's leave the neighborhood better than when we got here this morning, right? So we're going to do that by picking up the trash. We're going to do that by planting in the garden. The neighborhood loves the garden. It's down here working, and you'll hear the comments as they love the garden and the life that it's bringing to the neighborhood. So again, young men, let's get with Brother Rob afterwards. Everyone else, let's head out into the garden. Special thanks to Joshua Lee. He's going to be working the grill. Thank God, Brother Josh, when we're working the grill. Get your order in now. Get your order in now. But thanks to everybody. Thanks for everybody. Come on, let's look to heaven. God of heaven, and God of earth, the gardener who is above, thank you for strengthening our bodies. Thank you for the health of our inward parts. Thank you that you've given us a mind to work today in this garden, but tomorrow in your garden. So go with us. Stand by us. Fight for the believer. Stand up strong in everyone who names the name of Jesus Christ until we receive the hope of our faith. This we ask in Jesus' name. All of God's people say amen. Amen. Amen again. God bless you. Tell I'll see you out back.